Wakoma Swadi for Bofradusia Honesen. Academic excellence, good morals, self-confidence, and godly principles. Naik also a decent environment, not professional graduate teachers at Shaw Bofranwadi. Pre-school, primary, JHS, SHS, set obey D student, and our border. You will school buses into Unihau, obey business, visual arts, general arts, general science, and home economics. You will science and computer labs at Pebby, and I will Warstock libraries. Joy Standard Schools were Atunsu Fiyase and I stress so Anina Wukumasi. Your website is joystcollege.org and our friend director 0208-141-096. Joy Standard Schools. Aim at excellence.
Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for this morning. Shall we close our eyes? We're praying together. Almighty Father, we want to thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege to feast on your word. We pray, O Lord, Holy Spirit, blessed Redeemer, that you speak to our hearts. Every sincere seeker this morning will never end the same as we go into this message. Speak to our hearts. Reveal your mind unto us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'm going to read from the book of Job, chapter 22. Job chapter 22. I'm reading verse 21. It reads, verse 21 of Job 22, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. This is a counsel from Eliphaz to Job when Job was going through turbulence in his life, troubles in his life, afflictions here and there. Eliphaz, one of his friends, told him he may not know the cause. He was calling Job to examine himself, that he first starts by acquainting himself with the Lord, so that good, blessings, healing, deliverance will be his lot. This morning, that is what we're going to study as we go through this session together. And this exhortation comes with the title, Get Hooked on Him. Get hooked on him, like Eliphaz told Job. The Lord is telling us this morning that we should be hooked on him. I start this exhortation with a story. So many years of the judges' rule over Israel. I'm going to the book of Judges. About 450 years, according to history, a story was told of a young lady who had all the odds stacked up against her. And this young lady I'm talking about, we know in scripture that first of all, she emanated from a cursed family. That means there was no hope. Curses from his generation. Of course, if you should trace his lineage, she realizes that they were cursed. There was no hope. There was nothing new she was expecting in life. We also read from that book of Judges that this young lady, aside the fact that she came from a cursed family, she got married into a particular kind of family. In fact, scripture explains or describes that family as an ill-fated refugee family. There was nothing good. There was nothing expecting. In fact, everything was bad. And in the course of time, even after marriage, life started, they were moving up and down here. And even before a year could elapse, or some months could elapse, the husband died. So before any child could come out of her union, she lost her husband. We call this one a cursed life. Unfortunate. Of course, she had to go back. And the story is told that she took an upward positive turn around because she decided, she resolved to hook up with the one true God, the God of Israel, and she cleaved unto him. What made that turning point in his life, in her life rather, is she decided to hook up with the Creator. This morning, my dear listener, I want you to understand, in this life of ours, where we see the vicissitudes in reality, we see the challenges in reality, and everybody is kind of worried or perturbed, I want you to understand this morning that the best way to face these circumstances of life is to hook up with God. This story continues by saying that this lady, her mother-in-law, looked up at her pathetic condition, and this mother-in-law persuaded her that, okay, now, judging from what is going on, you have to go back to your family. You have to go back to your people. Perhaps you might find a man, and of course, you may start a new life. When all these comments came from the mother-in-law, this young lady I'm talking about, by name Ruth, she stuck to her guns. She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't go back to the idols of her homeland. She then pleaded. She begged Naomi, her mother-in-law. And in verses 16 and 17 of Ruth chapter 1, she said, and I quote, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to turn from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Verse 17, "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." These comments, of course, I'm sure it inspired Naomi, and Ruth couldn't leave Naomi to herself. Ruth couldn't turn her back on God. This was uncommon. This was rare. It was rare to see such a loyalty, such kind of faithfulness, such kind of tenacity of purpose in a young woman who came from a godless family. In fact, she was a Moabite. And we know that the secret is attributable to an encounter with God. That is what made all the difference. My dear listener, I want to ask you this question. How did she end up after she decided to hook on God, after she decided to stick to her guns? The Bible tells us that God demonstrated his grace towards Ruth, and Ruth's situation became one to be envied. She got all the blessings she didn't even merit. Not only did she get married to one of the wealthiest men in Judah, of course, she also got a mention in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And she became one of the great ancestresses of our Savior because of decision. You are not seeing the goodies of life because you have not made the right decision. You have not seen the power of God work in your life because you have not made the best decision. Decision, you know, determines destiny. Hey, young man, listen to me. For you to see God's grace, God's goodness upon your life, you've got to decide. Like somebody moving up and down, messing up in life, and she comes to himself. Like the prodigal son, she decided. He decided that, why am I here? My father has all that is worthy to make life meaningful. Why am I here going through such a life of destitute? I'm not getting what I need. And this man came to the point of realization. He decided, and he returned to the Father. And that is what began a new chapter in his life. You may look upside down, your life rather may have turned upside down and all messed up. It doesn't take God anything, my dear listener, young lady. It doesn't take God anything to turn it right side up and make your situation an enviable one, like he did for Ruth. That's why this morning you are being admonished to hook on the Lord. To hook means you are attached unto God. You are fastened unto God. You are secured in God. Number one, you must get hooked to Christ. Let's read from John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through to number 7. You must be hooked to Christ. John chapter 15. I'm reading verses 1 through 2-7. It says that I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. This morning, Jesus Christ is the vine. You need to abide in the Lord. Verse 3 says that now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. Once you are in Christ, Christ will be in you. It will be like a communication. It will be like a covenant. It will be like a collaboration with God. It says that as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, look at it, the same brings forth much fruit. This morning, once you resolve to come to Christ, you are hooked to Christ, you are in Christ, then fruitfulness will be the hallmark of your life, the distinguishing character of your life. The qualities of your life will be crowned with fruitfulness. It says that he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me. After hearing these words, you decide, I'll not abide in Christ. After all, I am better off without Christ. After all, I have the money. After all, I have the popularity. After all, I am that kind of person who is everywhere. I can do it without Christ. Don't make those comments. Don't try to kind of crave that supposition. It says that if a man abides not in me, he is cut forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, you resolve that, okay, with this kind of assurance, I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to turn away from sins. I'm going to be cleave unto the Lord. And my words abide in you, that every morning you are taking a dose of the word, you are meditating on the word, you are praying grace upon your heart to be doers of your word. The Bible says that ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So you've got to hook up with Christ. How does it begin? It begins by you have a relationship with Christ. You make a deliberate decision. You make a decisive decision that I'm going to start with Christ. I'm going to maintain a closer relationship with Christ, even through thick or thin. till the end. You make conscious efforts on your part that, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This morning, I am making that resolution that I will start up with Christ. Then you come to Christ, you confess your sins, you renounce your sins, you forsake your sins. This is really not just about confessing of your sins with one's mouth. Listen, it is the condition of the heart that matters. It is that point in your life when you make up your mind to follow Jesus, that I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I will stick with Jesus no matter what happens. Friends may desert you. You may become lonely because of that decision you have taken to follow the Lord. Challenges may come from here and there, yet you decide that I will follow Christ. That begins a relationship with Jesus. As you confess and you decide that you are not going back into the sins. You have been drinking, yes, drinking for years. You have friends who are drunkards. You are like a team of drunkards moving up and down almost every time, every weekend, because you are not that busy. You follow them, you go, you drink, you eat, you just mess up, you return home. And listen to me, this time as the Lord is speaking with you, you said that, oh Lord, this is my decision. I am going to follow you. You ask him to forgive you and wash you with his blood. Thereby, he will save you from your old sinful life. Then you become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. After you have repented from your sins, you'll be forgiven of your sins. Then you will then have to live intentionally, deliberately. You make a decision to cleave to the Lord every day. My dear listener, don't allow any situation, any circumstance, like trials, like challenges, maybe because of that kind of lifestyle you engaged in. You were kind of getting some gains as a young lady, moving up and down, messing up your life. These young men, they just mess you up. They give you some money, some coins, and you are contented, then you are happy. Now that you are resolving to follow the Lord, listen to me, the money will not come. The young man will say, don't call me again. That's the best decision he can ever make. You must resolve. You must be resolved that, Lord, with this decision, I am going to follow you. No matter the challenges, I will make sure that I will commit myself unto you. I will cleave to you, because there is no other option for a Christian who wants to thrive spiritually, who wants to thrive physically. The only option is to cleave unto the Lord. Look at the story we just shared. Ruth cleaved unto Naomi. Then she resolved that, I'm going to serve your God. That tenacity, that determination, eventually she became a popular person, because through her, Jesus Christ was born. Something better lies ahead of you. Something great lies ahead of you. It depends on what you do with your life now. You invest commitment. You commit yourself to righteousness. You commit yourself to serving the Lord, that no matter what happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. And listen to me, it is not mechanical. The Bible has told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 9 that his grace is sufficient for us. And in fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says God has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Only in him can we enjoy all these kinds of blessing. Before we pray, I want you to understand that many blessings abound for those that cleave to the Lord. Then how, as a believer, can you remain in God? I'm sharing 7 points, then we bear we burst into prayer. How then can you remain? Once you have confessed, you have renounced, you have invited the Lord Jesus, you now become a Christian and your life has been made new because your sins have been written off, scattered into God's sea of forgetfulness. What then are the key steps, the key points worth noting as to how we can remain in God? Number one, make sure you are praying every day. You are talking to God every day. Intentionally pray or talk to God every day. My dear sister, you wake up in the morning, the first resort should be prayer, not your mobile phone, not just spending hours on your mobile phone on social media. Number one, go to your God. Oh Lord, I've woke up, I thank you for the grace giving me this morning. I need a special grace to go through this day in righteousness. There is no better way to maintain a relationship with anyone than regularly communicating with that person. I've never come across a fruitful kind of marriage where husband and wife are always happy. It depends on communication. In the event the husband and wife are no longer communicating, the marriage will be in shambles. In the same way, God says that as a Christian, you pray. Prayer is an important habit you must imbibe. It is the one way to maintain that intimacy with God. Have you prayed before you left your room this morning? You've got to go before the Lord in prayer. Regardless of your occupation, regardless of your level of daily engagement, my dear brother, you should have specific time to actively pray unto the Lord. You talk to God. It should be an all-day experience. It should not be limited to the mornings. In the kind of things you do at the place of work, 24/7, you are praying. You are seeking the face of God. Number two, there, you must study the scripture. You must study the scripture. In fact, if you want to maintain a strong bond with God, you must read the scripture. You must meditate. The psalmist said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. If you want to excel in this Christian life, you've got to meditate on the word of God. When you pray every morning to the Lord speak you are kind of speaking to the Lord. It is a two-way affair. You've woke up in the morning, you are praying, you are speaking unto the Lord. Then when you study the scripture, God then speaks to you. So prayer is number one, scripture is number two. Number three, you must worship God. The Bible says we must worship God in the beauty of holiness. If you want to remain hooked to God, it is through worship. God can be worshiped through psalms. God can be worshiped through songs of praise. Of course, God can be worshiped as and when you are able to keep your mind, your heart, your focus, your emotions focused on Christ. Worship the Lord 24/7. You have a God you are serving. Number four, you must put God first and involve Him in everything you do. Put God first. You want to decide, you want to change job, put God first. You want to travel outside the country, put God first. You want to go out there and rent an appointment, put God first. You want to marry, I'm kind of growing, I'm aging, and I've settled down. I need a young man, a young lady who can start my life with me as a couple. Then put God first. This simply means you give God the priority. You make Him number one in everything. In everything, anything you want to embark on, you must ensure to involve God in your personal life, in your decisions, in your work, in your goals, in your thoughts, what have you. You cannot claim to be in a relationship with God without kind of seeking His indulgence in anything you want to do. Number five, you must consume Christian content. What I mean by Christian content is not anything, everything that we read edifies. Not everything that we hear or we see edifies. It's important you sift the things you see. You sift out the things you read. You sift out the kind of music you listen to. You must, of course, commit your attitude, your habits and your thoughts under the influence of the Lord. In other words, you should only consume edifying content that can positively impact, affect your life. Number one, there, you must pray every day. Number two, you must study the scripture. Number three, you must worship God. Number four, you must put God first. You must involve God in everything you do. Number five, you must consume Christian content. Number six, service to God. You must render service to God. Listen, one other way you can maintain a consistent connection with Him is through service. As a Christian, your service to the Lord shouldn't be limited to the church and to His people alone. It should also include serving everyone around you. Jesus Christ says that we must carry His cross and follow Him. Christ was for all. We are also to be Christ's servants, Christ's ambassador, accessible for all, accessible by all. Number seven, you must express gratitude. It is a good thing to show gratitude unto God with all your heart, with all your mind. You can appreciate Him for who God is, what He has done for you, what He has done for others, and what He is currently doing for you, and what He will still do in the future. Be grateful. With a grateful heart, express that appreciation unto God. How do you do that? Number one, you pray. Number two, you create a kind of gratitude list. Number three, you share testimony of what the Lord has done for you with others. As you do this consistently, you will be growing from grace to grace. And listen, the God, our Creator, who prospered Ruth and made her great after she resolved to cleave unto the Lord, the same Lord is available, ready this morning to do same unto you. I don't want you to stay there and say, I've been serving God, I've been doing His work, but how about the condition of your heart? How about your relationship, your lifestyle? How about your prayer life? Do you read? Do you study? Do you pray? Do you worship God? Do you show gratefulness unto the Lord? Are you a kind of an ingrate? Are you serving the Lord? Do you consume Christian content? Do you prioritize God in everything you do? Do you serve God? My brother, my sister, do you do the things that matter in the sight of God? Are you worshiping God? As you do all these things, I tell you, the blessings the Lord has spelled out in the scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Matthew chapter 6, I read verse 33. It says that, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This morning, we will be bursting in a prayer very soon. But check your life. Why are you not making progress in this life? Why are you not seeing the glory of the Lord upon your life? Start from yourself. Assess yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to search you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Have you backslidden? You are an S-Y Christian. You are no more in a covenant relationship with the Lord. Come this morning, the Lord would accept you. He says, I will heal their backslidings and I will love them freely. God's love is available. His love is accessible. Come this morning, ask Him for mercy and He will show you mercy. I want you to close your eyes wherever you are hearing from me. We are praying together. You are asking the Lord for mercy, that, oh Lord, this morning I want to cleave to you. I want to be hooked to Christ. I want to be connected to Christ. Oh Lord, accept me. And as you are praying that prayer, asking for grace to be consistent, and the Lord will prosper Ruth. He will prosper you. He will bless you. He will elevate you. And you will see the goodness of the Lord in every sphere of your life. His grace
is available. His grace is sustainable. His grace is sufficient. In fact, His grace is accessible. Come this morning, ask Him for mercy, ask Him to forgive your sins, and ask Him to come and dwell on the inside of your heart. Tell Him that, Lord, I'm going to be prayerful. I will read. I will meditate. I will worship. I will consume Christian content. I will put You first in all I do. Oh, Lord, I'm going to assess You, worship You with a grateful heart every day, everywhere. And the Lord who prospered Ruth, the Lord who have been prospering people in our contemporary times, that same Lord will prosper you. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we want to thank You this morning for the privilege of coming back unto You so that you'll be recruited into Your kingdom. Lord, any other person there who has acknowledged and has prayed for mercy, for clemency, according to Your word, show him mercy. Show her mercy. Lord, that grace You granted the people of old, and even in our contemporary times, I pray that that grace would abound in the life of these respondents, that with all commitment and diligence, they will continue serving You. Every morning praying, reading the word, worshiping You, prioritizing You in all they do. And all the blessings You've told us, all other things will be added unto them. We want to thank You, Lord, because we know You have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. I am Pastor Kofi Chei. You may call us on 0244-784063. 0244-784063. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.